Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, hello, welcome to another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Of course, it's exclusive on the Listener app. Also, Joey Montagna here, and alongside me as always on a Wednesday, Daisy, Damo, and good afternoon to you, Duck.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Listeners, good to be here because this time last week we're coming into a long weekend locked up in a little chook pen. This week we're just going to a bigger chook pen.
That's right.
So
bigger.
Feeling a little freer, Daisy.
We are. Ramsey and I are going to a big chook pen. We're going to Sydney for calling the Giants and Blues game.
Wow, I'm travelling for a game.
We,
wow.
So,
well, like the old days.
Apparently. I'm on debut on the road.
Okay. Oh, wow.
How are you, Damo?
Well, thank you, Joe. Just hearing Duck talking about being caged in. We finished the Saturday rub at 1:30 on the Saturday just gone. I have it on the best of authority, as in an eyewitness, within 14 minutes, Duck was at Wolf and I in Windsor having his first sip.
Yeah,
14 minutes.
14 minutes.
Hey, by the way, yes, you're fairly accurate, but it was business.
Always is, Duck.
Business meeting.
Yeah.
And yes, things had opened up, so moved pretty quickly. Yeah.
Just on the Google Maps, it says it's a 13-minute drive, you so you must have got a park right on the front.
No, he had the beer poured and was sipping on it at 1:44.
It was a whiz fizz. They've got these whiz fizzes. Very nice.
And you're going out for dinner tonight. That's just another business meeting.
It actually is a business meeting. a mate of mine and a mate of yours got married on the weekend, and also a couple of birthdays, my birthday and a couple of others all fell in the COVID lockdown.
Right.
So we've got a dinner booked for tonight.
So where's the business element in all that?
Well, I'm in business with all the guys that are going.
Okay, you're in business.
Oh, boy.
Good week for you, Daisy, because we'll off the top, we'll get into our certainties and have a look at going back last week, but you straight off, you like to go out on a limb. You say some things that, you know, a bit different. Other people tend to follow you. But you went with a big call about the Hawks taking on Sydney. Nobody in their right mind tipped Hawthorn Friday night footy. But let's just take a listen to how you went on this show last week.
Can I just have a side note on the back of that? I give the Hawks a red hot show in this one.
Do you really?
Fresh off the bye, I reckon the Swans, the question has been their young players been up for a while now. I just think...
Are you tipping the Hawks?
Yes, I am.
Footy genius,
yes.
Daisy.
Yeah, I am. It's hard to argue with that. Look, no, I, for the reasons I stated there, the Hawks fresh off the bye, the Swans sort of limping to it. They're young players. When you have that young list, you look for the bye and you almost forget about the job you have to do at hand, and that's exactly what happened. And responsibly, of course, $7 boosted. How nice was that?
And Duck, you would have liked the old school style of Clarko. He spoke about that they weren't tough enough as a group for the first half of the year. Old school, got the boxing gloves out, toughened each other up. Okay, unfortunately, we know that someone certainly got hurt and couldn't play, but the mindset around just getting the gloves out and toughening up certainly made a difference.
Well, they've been, as Clarko said during the week, all the clubs, most clubs do boxing.
Yep.
Now, they probably don't do sparring or maybe go as hard, which...
Most clubs be able to get through a session without knocking
exactly
a teammate
right.
out.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't like to see that happen, certainly. But a lot of the clubs... And by the way, when they say they do boxing, most of them don't spar one another.
No, it's just with the pads
just pad
and
work
a bit of fitness.
And all that sort of stuff. It is great for your fitness, which is why a lot of the clubs do it. But certainly you don't want people being hurt, do
you? But certainly it was a nice bit of old school coaching to get the gloves out, and it certainly led to the Hawks. Do you think the Hawks can go on with it? Do you think they can win a few more games on the run home from what you've seen?
Do they want to?
Well, that's a big question.
I don't ask that from a tanking perspective.
No, I think Clarko does want to win.
Yeah, I'm not sure everyone associated with Hawthorn, and that could even just stand down the rung a bit too, not necessarily people being paid to work for the club, but I think this is a year where Hawthorn knows where it's at. Alistair Clarkson will have visions of a better future than maybe some people can see. And the way to ensure that happening, Joey, as we know, is to finish just above North Melbourne.
I think Hawthorn will beat sides that go in thinking that it'll be easy, because it's never easy playing against the Hawks. And I think it probably shows more on the other side, just where the Swans are at. They're a really young team. But I tell you what I did do last week, Joey. I wrote an article about Harry Mackay.
Oh, yes, you did.
Going to North Melbourne.
Got a lot of North fans excited.
And the fact that they'll have the number one pick, we think.
Yep.
And they'll be just able to walk him through the door for nothing and all of that sort of stuff. But I didn't do my homework.
He signed 2 days later.
I might have rushed him into it. I found out brothers don't get along all that well. Probably should have dug a little bit deeper, that Damo. But not all family members, and I'm not saying they're not, you know, they don't get along at all, but They're not overly close, I'm hearing, yeah, as brothers.
I think like from the Kings. The King brothers are thickest thieves.
They're like really,
yeah,
it's
well, really from all reports, they played all their juniors together, and Harry was their centre-half forward, Ben was their centre-half back. So for as long as from back in the backyard back there in Warrigal, they used to punch the absolute suitcases out of each other. So as soon as the footy comes out, that's all they know or want to do.
If David Teague could have one thing happen in the past week, it was that, wasn't it?
That Harry was nice McKay.
It's a good vote of confidence. Yeah. A really good vote of confidence. Paddy Cripps is now the next one. Mm. Interesting, that one.
Still hasn't put pen to paper. They
a couple
said
of weeks ago,
terms.
They came out and said it was all done and dusted. And now is there... Are we reading into this too much?
I'm not yet reading anything into the fact that he hasn't yet officially done it. But having said that, when you get to the round 13, 14 stage of a season, you do wonder. But no, to answer your question, I'm not yet reading anything into the lack of signature on that deal.
Daisy, before we go to our first break and look at all the footy news, you always come to the table now with your legend of the round.
Daisy's hero of the round.
Yes, the hero of the round, legend, call it whatever you want. And this bloke is one of both of those things. Neil Danaher is the legend hero of the round. The cause that he's obviously fighting, MND, the beanies that are sold, the way the football world has now embraced that, $2.4 million raised over just the weekend gone, $50 million in total. But him as a bloke is just a dead set inspiration. You watch how he's going about it under circumstances, everything that goes on in the world, in our own lives, he is fighting something that is bigger than all of that, doing it with a smile, doing it for a cause greater than himself. I sat there on Monday and you see him going down the sliders, the respect that he has from everyone in the footballing world. I think Dane Swan, a mate of mine, came out and said he should be given Australian of the Year very quickly, just so he understands and appreciates how much we appreciate what he's doing under very trying circumstances. So to Neil Danaher, and especially his daughter, Beck, the way she looks after him and cares for him, the great photo of her fixing his beanie on the weekend just at the top of the slide. It's just a really good feel-good moment in a world at the minute where there's a fair bit of shit that goes on. Just a really nice touch. So to Neil Danaher, you are my hero, not only of the week, but arguably the year.
I think he's everyone's hero, Daisy. Very well said, by the way. But I think we all sit there in awe, and I mean awe of Neil Danaher to put so much time into something when he... You know, he could have spent all of that time doing other things, more about himself. Yep. He has put, the cause ahead of his own time. It's incredible.
Yep, spot on. Hey, up next, we're going to get all the footy news and we are going to dissect the David McKay Tribunal coming up tomorrow night.
This is the Midweek Rock.
Did you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did. Anyway.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app. And as always, time for Damo's footy news. And we can't go any further than the David McKay incident and the tribunal appearance tomorrow night, Damo.
Yeah, it's been confusion everywhere, hasn't there, Joey? And it does stem back to the AFL itself in its initial release on Sunday evening to put the matter straight to the tribunal, Duck, without a grading. And that then caused 24 hours of, well, why? They then, 24 hours later, put a grading to it, and that being a 3-plus match advisement for the tribunal on what he did to Hunter Clark. Everyone's got a view on it. Everyone's watched it, I would have thought, a minimum of a dozen times. I'm no clearer on what the tribunal will do. What I am big on though, Joey, is the match review office, in my eyes, needs to be totally revamped at the end of this season. It needs to be the body that ultimately formulates what is right and what isn't in its eyes. To keep referring matters to the tribunal, I don't think is good enough anymore. It's an independent body. It's a rotating body of independent people. And on top of that, the actual Football Act gets lost in the legal to-ing and fro-ing between people who are trained legal professionals. The football conversation becomes secondary to two legal bodies fighting it out. And I just think it needs to be brought back. Whether it's Stephen Hawking himself, which is probably unlikely, but someone who has prepared to put his or her name on the AFL's behalf as to what is and isn't acceptable, to almost to remove the tribunal. Leave it for what it once was meant to be, the safeguard, the secondary opinion, but not the determining opinion on such matters.
Where do you think it sits? And what I mean by that is the media. What do you think the majority of the media think, and then on top of that, the supporters.
And it all is factored in, you're right.
Yeah, whereabouts?
I feel the media and the supporters want David McKay to be getting off tomorrow night. That's my take on that.
That's the majority.
I would say that, yes. Now, you've then got some people, and look, the greatest player, Duck, outside of your good self, of course, in Lee Matthews, feels that he probably, possibly should go. And that's an interesting view too, given it's come from Lee Matthews, who plays football in a certain way, which is very different to what the rules allow now. What do you reckon, Dace?
I think he should get off. I just think there's an area in the game where there's genuine footballing incidents and accidents that are going to happen. Like it or loathe it, we want to protect the head, all this stuff with concussion. There's going to be times where blokes run into each other, and that's what happened in that contest. It was a good old-fashioned contest. McKay didn't try to go out there and hurt Hunter Clark. He was looking at the ball. He was going at the ball. Hunter Clark got there, if anything, later than McKay. That's why his head was lower as he was reaching in. I just don't understand now where, if this is upheld, where do you go from here? Because you'll have blokes going into contests. You make a decision 3 or 4 metres off when you're going to get to the ball because that's just instinct and that's what you do. Blokes like Mitch Robinson who don't quite have that nous to pull out or understand it, what are they going to be doing? They'll be second-guessing themselves and then you put yourself at more risk because you're not committed to what you're actually doing.
And I think the other thing that makes it confusing, Damo, and it happened on the weekend, the De Goey situation on Oliver. So De Goey didn't go for the ball. He hit high.
Yeah.
Now Oliver gets up, plays on, so therefore he only gets the 1 week. Now, if Oliver had fractured jaw, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we would be talking a massive suspension. So one was an act not going for the ball, but because he's not injured, he only gets the 1 week. One, you're going for the ball, but someone gets seriously injured.
Yep. You've been big on the act,
and I think because of that, I reckon McKay, I think now McKay, because of the De Goey only getting the 1 week, I think McKay should get off.
Joey, the same 24-hour period prior to the decision being handed down, we saw Jago O'Meara contact Will Haywood and concussed him, and it was taken out of the game. You can go through the whys and wherefores as to how that happened, but ultimately we had a match review office saying that's okay for him to be concussed and taken out of the game, and then 24 hours later we're saying it's not okay for McKay to do what he did to Hunter Clark. And, Duck, you've been as big as anyone on this. It's the outcome of the injury which is causing the decision to be made a certain way. And it's got to be sorted out once and for all. What did you make of it, Joey, before we move off the McKay situation?
My first thought is you're spot on. I think there's been an overreaction to the incident because of the injuries to Hunter Clark's face. And it is it was a significant injury, absolutely, and it was a brutal collision. But we've overreacted to now wanting to change the laws of the AFL about if you are contesting the ball and you injure an opponent, you could still be liable, which has never, ever been the case in our game. Because of one incident. Because as you said, there's been a number of incidents this year where players have gone for the ball and they've been cleared. I'm going to take your mind back to, and if you remember to round 8, Geelong played Richmond and Joel Selwood went at Ryan Mansell. Mansell, the young kid, had his head over the ball.
Yep.
Joel Selwood turned his body and got the ball. There was no match review, said nothing to answer for. Everybody lauded Joel Selwood for the correct technique. Now, Mansell could have, if his head was in a slightly different position, God forbid, we could have had a significant neck injury and there would have been an outcry. But because there wasn't, it was almost, Joel Selwood did the right thing. He turned his body. Mansell led with his head. We can't have that. If we now change the rules about if you go at the football and you hurt another opponent doing it fairly, how do we teach our kids to go for the ball?
Joey,
because it's a 360-degree game, Damo. Yeah. We have players of all different sizes and heights and shapes. Mm. And the unique thing about our game is we have an oval-shaped ball. If that ball bounces in a different angle, if that ball had been slightly on a different axis and it rolled towards David McKay, he was in the box seat. But because it sat up slightly, you can't
had to adjust his motion.
There's people that are expecting players to now decide how fast they're allowed to run, who the opponent is coming the other way. Now,
if you can't control.
If you're a bigger body, if you're Ollie Wines, does that mean you can't run as fast as someone else because you're a thicker set? You're more likely to do damage than if I was running at the footy, or can Max Gorn not go as hard as Caleb Daniel? I just think you've got to be careful for the people that want to change the rules. The unintended consequences of what it might mean for the game going forward.
So it's simple for me. And like you said, I've been saying it for a long time. The action. So if you're going to penalise the action. So both players in those situations you said, the one we're talking about now, McKay, the action that he went and the way he went at the footy is not wrong. The action in which De Goey went at the footy was wrong.
If I want to stamp it out, rule out De Goey for 3 weeks.
Should De Goey get 3 weeks, even though Oliver bounces up? That's my whole point.
The other debate that has happened now, this is a Sunday night ruling, which they mucked up initially because they didn't put a grading on it. But it's not until Thursday night that it actually gets to play out. So we're talking about it, and everyone's got a view on it. One of the narratives has been this is going to change football. Save the tackle, the defining moment for the game this year. I don't have faith in the tribunal sanctioning system for that to be the case, because is anyone going to tell me that same act is going to cost someone if you transfer that incident into grand final week coming out of a prelim final? We'll find a way to ignore that act.
We saw it, Cochin on Shield in a preliminary
Cochin on
final.
Shield had two
which
strikes.
Was way worse than what the
McCain. But he went at the ball.
He went at the ball.
This is what I'm saying, and that was a prelim final. This is exact same situation that we're looking at right now.
The game will find a way to ignore that moment when the stakes are higher than they are in a home and away game between the Adelaide Crows and the St Kilda Footy Club.
For what it's worth, I don't see how David McKay can get suspended, because any good lawyer, you would think, with the rules as they currently are, would certainly be able to argue that what David McKay did wasn't
I know precedence doesn't come into it, but it should.
So I think you'll get off, but that doesn't change. There might be a different conversation at the end of the year or going forward.
And that's fair enough,
and that
too.
That is fine. Exactly.
Then we know.
Why is it on a Thursday, by the way?
Because there is no Thursday night game. This
but
week.
Why isn't it tonight?
It should have been Tuesday night when it's all said and done.
Or tonight.
Daisy, would it be worth being, you know, the old fashioned? Didn't they used to be televised, the tribunals?
No,
it never used to be televised.
They talked about it.
Would it not be interesting to watch?
No, Joe, I sat through 15 or so years.
Are they boring?
They are the worst things. They are the worst things.
I only went to the tribunal once and I had to lie about trying to trip a player over, and I made out that I didn't mean to, and it is quite nerve wracking.
It's a lie.
You ever sit duck in a tribunal when you get interrogated?
I've been there a few times.
Yeah, you have to try.
The one where I swore at the umpire and called him a cheat with a couple other words that started with C, and I had to stand up and agree to the facts that that both parties had agreed to. Mr. Thomas, will you stand? And then you looked at umpire Barlow and you just hear the journo start typing, and then you called him. Yes, Your Honour. So for that point, maybe don't. My nana wouldn't think the same.
So not interesting enough, Damo, to watch.
No, they're definitely not. Trust me on that.
Big cases would be, wouldn't it?
No, because the big cases drag out for 4 hours, Doug. I can tell you now, the legal people just take it down a path. It doesn't need to go down.
So does he get off?
I'm saying yes.
Damo?
I'm saying yes.
I'm saying yes, and if he isn't, I'll be outraged.
Yeah, I think you'll get off. A good lawyer will be able to win this case, but that doesn't mean they might not change the rules going forward, which is a whole different discussion in the future. Just quickly, Sean Darcy, a bit of an update on him.
Kel Toomey on AFL.com.au reporting that he's very keen to stay at the Dockers, and it's significant because he's emerging. If you take Max Gawn out of, I think, the conversation, he's emerging as... He could be this current stage of this season the second best ruck in it. Now, that may be a stretch, Duck, but he's having a very good year. Yeah. Geelong Footy Club was really keen. He's got Geelong origins, and they were keen to see what he wanted to do post this particular contract, which ends at the end of next year. But, yeah, positive for him and the Dockers that he sees his future.
They're one team that I haven't seen a lot of this year, so I haven't seen him live at all.
He's going really well, Doug. Yeah. He's a big, lumbering hunk of a man.
I know who he is, but he gets to both ends.
Yeah. And his game can show that he can go forward, kick a goal, take a mark. Yeah. He's really improving his game.
What's any clarity on where the grand final will be? Is there anything on that?
Save that, because we've got the duck
serious?
Dive, quick five. Save it, Daisy. Look at him.
Are you aware of what you've just asked?
Save it. We're going to do the duck dive, quick five after this, and we're going to ask Duck.
This is the Midweek Rub.
A little bit of a Tony DeLiberatore there, Baz.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick five.
Hey, I had it in my top five anyway, the Duck Dive, but we're going to go straight into it, Daisy, because you teased it just before this. Duck, what's your issue with where the grand final is going to be played? Yeah. It's a big talking point.
Why are we talking about it? Why are we talking about it now?
What if it's not at the MCG?
What if there's a lot of what ifs?
There are, Duck. There's no games in Melbourne again this weekend.
So let's talk about it when it becomes an if. Or a what if.
No, because it is an if now,
Duck. It's not an if now, because we don't know where we're going to be in 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks in this state. We know where the other states are, but we don't know where we're going to be. Let's be honest. We're coming out of lockdown maybe in the next 24 hours.
The reason
into a bigger cage. And we're going to maybe have crowds this week or next week, Damo. But you want to already talk about Perth and Adelaide.
The reason we had to react to Perth. Is that what you're saying?
No, I love Optus Stadium. I love Perth and I love Adelaide. And those two states would be wonderful if we had cases in 3 months' time.
So you hate Sydney and Brisbane?
No, well, Brisbane had their chance last week.
So you hate hypotheticals?
I hate hypotheticals and prematurity. Right.
Prematurity.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a word?
No.
So, David, when do you think...
I hate being
premature.
Premature, that's better. When do you think it needs to become a serious... Or does it at all?
No, it has to be. You're going to need to give the successful venue that wants to pitch for it. And, and there needs to be a runway for that pitch, how much money they're going to pitch, the government. And also then to prepare the venue and to get a creative place.
It's going to be in Melbourne.
So I'm saying that. Joey, that's going to need a minimum of 8 weeks lead into the game itself. So we're getting, I reckon, about 4 or 5 weeks away from that needing to be decided.
And I'll say this. It will be at the MCG.
You said that this time last year too, Doug, and how'd that go?
Okay, it'll be at the MCG. And I tell you what, if prematurity is not a word, it should be. It sounds good, doesn't it?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yep. There's been a lot of talk about Optus Stadium and how great it was with the Dreamtime. It was great. I've got a bit of a theory. You're a big fan of State of Origin. Do you think there's still a place for State of Origin footy? No, you think it's gone?
Not in AFL, no. Well, there's too many states that play our game. They've got two big states. That's why it works.
But what about this, though? This is my theory about Optus Stadium. What if the Western Australian government, Daisy, and Optus Stadium suggested, because of the spectacular the Dreamtime G and everyone walking, that we're going to pitch to have a State of Origin game in the preseason next year, Western Australia v Victoria, and we're going to host it. We'll pay the players. We'll make it a big weekend.
But then what about the South Australians? What about everyone else
They can do it in a couple of years' time. Because if you look at this Western Australian side right now, Duck, I could argue this is the greatest Western Australian State of Origin team since probably the era of the West Coast Eagles through the mid-90s, because the forward line at the moment would be Liam Ryan, Shea Bolton, Jack Darling, Michael Walters, Buddy Franklin and Aaron Norton. That's just the forward line for the Western Australian State of Origin team. They've got Paddy Cripps, Elliot Yeo, Tim Kelly. They'd have Nick Nat in the ruck. Imagine, Daisy, the preseason before round one, Western Australia host a massive big... Imagine the Western Australian crowd, 55,000 of them, the noise of affirmation taking on the Victorians Optus Stadium. I think it would be a great...
You've sold it to me.
Not a lot of people change my mind. You naming all those names,
That's a bums... You don't want to miss that. You want to be there live or you'd be watching on
television. Because there was conversation about rotating the Dreamtime at the G or even the Grand Final talk. I agree with you. Grand Final won't be at Optus Stadium. But they can have their own spectacular moment and host the Victorian team.
I like it.
And bring
Joey, that was a beautiful pitch.
Yeah.
You got all of us.
Yeah.
It got us all. As soon as imagine that four line he had made. Hello.
Absolutely. Well, Buddy Franklin's last chance. Yeah. Get him in there, State of Origin, Western Australia. It would be awesome.
I thought it was prematurity on your behalf to go with that idea. Yeah. But Doug liked it.
Mate, just a one-off. And then in 3 years' time, South Australia can do something similar at Adelaide Oval and host the Victorians there and have a weekend of, a great weekend there. Next question. Mason Cox, out in the outer at Collingwood, out of contract, 30 years of age. Do you think there is another club that would be wanting to have Mason Cox on their list?
I thought about this just the other day because I saw his name and obviously he's not being picked. Yes, I do. I think he's worth a crack at another club.
So is it a club that's down the bottom of the ladder or a club that's contending?
No, I think it's a club that's not going so well. Yeah. Okay. I just need a big target inside forward 50. For instance, if he went to a North Melbourne, I think that helps out a guy like Larky. That to me is a fit for Mason Cox.
It certainly helps being tall. In this sort of, if you're a fringe player and you're just a 185 bit of a battler, you get pushed aside a lot quicker than
a dozen of them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Than a 200 centimeter.
Just to help, like I said, a young forward develop a little bit better. Yeah. That's his role now, I think.
Speaking of the Kangaroos, you mentioned the Harry Mackay trying to chase him. They couldn't land a big fish. There's Josh Kelly's been linked to the club.
Yeah.
As a Kangaroos man, would you be happy for the Kangaroos to pay $1 million a year to have Josh Kelly at the club? Or is there someone else that you have in mind that they could spend that money on and get at the club?
Oh, look, I always thought a big key position player. That's why I mentioned Harry. If Kelly plays like he did on the weekend, he was so good. He's had a big eight weeks.
He's had a big year.
And the other thing about the Kangaroos, they need an X-factor player. Now, Cunnington, we all love Cunnington, and he's got a lot of accolades this week. He should get more accolades. He's an absolute star, contested footy. But they need a pin-up boy. And Josh Kelly is a pin-up boy. So if they could land him, I'm happy to pay whatever he wants.
Speaking of the big key forwards, last one here. We've seen now Melbourne, they had a loss to Collingwood. Sam Wiedemann's played the 5 games this season. He's now played 50 games in his career. Is it time to maybe, they've given him a try this year, 5 games. Is it now time to try Ben Brown and see if he can be the difference for Melbourne this season?
I've always thought it's going to be a horses thing for these two. And he struggled a little bit on the weekend, Wiedemann, but he brings more to the table than Ben Brown. And what I mean by that is he's got more tricks. He's a little bit quicker, puts on better pressure. He's better below his knees. But at the moment, he's probably lacking a little bit in confidence. But what are you going back to at the moment, Joey? That's the other thing. Ben Brown will get another crack before the end of the year. Don't worry about that. And it'll be his to grab hold of with both hands. Clearly, they've got Wiedemann ahead of him at the moment in where they see their
football.
You can
get a kick on the weekend,
careers.
Doug.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. So I think that may be a time, if that was to be repeated, they've got the bye now.
Yep.
So that may save him to get another crack, or they may say, well, no, you know what, Ben, you've got a chance at it. So it's out of those two.
Yes.
Who grabs it?
Yep.
But Wiedemann's clearly ahead of Brown at the moment.
Is he?
Well, he's in the first.
Yeah. Was Ben Brown this sort of one-dimensional at North Melbourne, yes, though? You've always been like this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'd obviously.
Well, he hasn't got worse.
Yeah, I remember his ability just to, you know, come out clunker, but also be somewhat of a contested marker, do some things on the ground. The game that we saw down at Tassie when he played, below the knees, he was horrible.
Yeah, no, he's very.
But he's always been like that.
If you put the ball to his advantage and he gets a run at it, he's very hard to stop. And we know he's a beautiful kick for goal. And I've always said that that's what he needs. He's got to be working on those elements of his game, I think, for him to get back into the Melbourne team.
Because we know the Melbourne team have got the full team defence. So if you've got a bloke in the forward line, a bit like when the Pies were with Mason Cox, hits the ground, you don't really provide much. Makes it very hard to keep the ball in there and play to your system.
And Wiedemann has been doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ben Brown's harshly marked. He's been All-Australian squad 3 years in a row, kicked over 60 goals in a row.
Don't talk about squads.
Well, he's in the top 40 players for the year.
That All-Australian squad is the biggest load of rhubarb.
Really?
He has as much disdain for that topic as he does where the grand final is going to be played this year.
Why do you hate the All-Australian squads?
Because it's rhubarb. They don't even care about the squad. And for any player that goes to his manager and says, oh, I made the All-Australian squad, so I should get it.
Some
rise.
Sort of recognition, isn't there, in the top 40 or 50 players in the comp?
You don't make the team. You can't say. And by the way, you know what? If you're getting mentioned in your bio, if you get mentioned you're in the squad 4 times, then you know what? That is just.
See, Damon's is coming ludicrous. From a bloke who made the team 8 times. It was captain 6 of them. And
what about if West Coast had a spectacle where they played the All-Australian squad?
On grand final day in Perth.
Anyway, you got me riled up today.
Well, hold that, because after this, we're going to take a look back at our certainties from last week and preview the games coming up round 14.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I've studied the form for 81 days and the answer is we've got no idea.
Triple M rocks footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub exclusive on the Listener app. Been another very good show. Duck's been riled up today. We've got him, Daisy. You've thrown out the rod. You've got him a couple of times. Hey, let's take a look back to, we always give our certainties, and every time we get it wrong, there's a six-pack that's been added to the table for our end-of-season Mad Monday. We're going to start with you, Damo, because after a bit of a shaky start through the early part of the season, you've really hit your straps.
Let's go with the Saints and the Crows, and I just can't see the Saints having enough manpower to be even competitive in this one. So I think it's an obvious one to me that the Crows just win that.
I'm not sure it was an obvious one.
I was right on the manpower part of it, the competitive bit. Not so right, but I still got the pick right.
Yeah, you were home.
Well done.
Duck, you've been going really well in the tipping, but you might have got this one slightly wrong.
I'm actually going to take the Swans as my certainty.
Yeah.
Go on, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Been a while since you've got one wrong.
Yeah, no, it was disappointing.
You'll drink that six-pack, though, on the way in when you bring it in, so that one won't last us, but another six-pack for you. And then, Daisy, you and I went head-to-head this week with our certainties.
I'm going to tip the Power, and if allowed, I'll have them as my certainty.
Well, I'm going to take Geelong as my certainty. We haven't had this yet. Head-to-head.
We've never had one of those.
We haven't had the head-to-head. I was pretty bullish on the Cats. They are humming. The way they're playing their footy. And the Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins combination. Yeah. Wowie.
Port were 9 points up. Looked like they were going to run away with it. Geelong went bang, bang, bang in 57 seconds. And then they were 9 points up.
And given their preparation, off the bye, they've struggled, as we know, for a number of years now. And then, you know, to have to sit in a big room and sit around on plastic couches and all of that sort of stuff, that's a great win from the Cats.
Just shows a little bit, and we probably were some of that, the superstitions and routine and preparation. It's all a bit Mickey Mouse. Yeah, means nothing. It's all between the ears. And if you prepare yourself mentally, it doesn't matter what adversity you face leading up to a game, you can still perform at your best.
Agreed.
Well done to you, Joey.
All right, well, let's take a look at this round. We've only got the 5 games to choose from, so we could actually have another head-to-head, or we can just have 4 of the 5 games. Who's going to be the softie to take the new ball? Damo. Oh, okay, you go first, Damo.
A man who's never been in a squad.
Always in the first starting 18 or 11 days. I'm going to go with the Cats in this one.
The Cats?
Joey, is Cats is my certainty for the week. Yeah,
Friday night footy.
Want to get in there first.
Yeah, right.
I'm convinced the Cats are going to do one step better than last year, and that is actually win a grand final this year. So that'll be a little plank along the way.
Can the Bulldogs cause an upset in this one, Daisy or Duck?
Zipper 9, they are down at GMHBA against the Cats. They're fresh off a bye.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with the Cats. I think the Cats down at home, they're just so hard to beat down there.
They are tough. Just keep an eye out for Aaron Norton. If there is a game where he can potentially rip a team apart, Geelong have had some issues against the key forwards. Charlie Dixon last week looked like breaking the game open. Max King only a few weeks earlier kicked 1.5 and took 6 marks inside 50. Yeah. This might be the game for Aaron Norton if they are to win, for him to just launch.
8 degrees and raining down there.
Is it?
Is it going to?
Oh, that doesn't help.
Bulldogs. Bulldogs could win this game.
I was going to play golf in the morning.
If it's 8 degrees and raining, that could maybe help the Bulldogs.
That brings them into.
It does.
All right. Well, I'm going to my certainty.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to go the Giants to beat the Blues. The Giants had the draw on the weekend against the Kangaroos. And I reckon fair old rev up. They're better than that. And that's taking nothing away from the Kangaroos. But they came back to get the draw. Should have won it in the end. And the Blues, well, they just keep doing what the Blues do.
They'll lose by how much, the Blues? About 18
points.
22 points.
I'll take the Power to beat the Suns.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah.
You happy with that?
I was going to ask you about the Blues, though. I want to know your mindset. So you know a lot of those players there. What's going to be the players' mindset for the second half of the season? Are they a type of group that can still get a real resolve about themselves and have had the break and set themselves for a finals tilt? Or do you think with everything that's gone on and what's happening at that club, it might just fall away back into the year?
No, I reckon it'll be the first point that you've made there. I think that they would look at how they've been playing. And as you say, 22 points is their average losing margin. Arguably, 3 or 4 of those goals should just not happen. They're not beaten by any sort of great system or anything. It's probably a lack of effort or intent at times that allows that margin to creep out to that. So that's something you can rectify. That's your intent. That's your willingness to defend at times and be less offensive. No doubt through the bye period, you have a really good chance to have a decent review, have some good, honest conversations. I think if they can tidy that part of their game up, they've shown this season that they are a serious footy side when they do play in the manner that they can. They've got plenty of firepower up forward. It's just tightening up that defence.
Well, they have to do it this week.
So who are you tipping the Blues?
I'll tip the Blues against the Giants this week.
All right, well, let's see what they deliver.
Actually, I'll change it. I'll have them as my certainty, so we've got another head-to-head.
Okay, the Blues are certainly. And I'll take the easy one then. I'll take the Brisbane Lions to beat the Kangaroos, although the Kangaroos have got great form in Tassie. They've had a draw, a win, and then just lost to Melbourne in Tassie as well.
Oh, the Lions, going down to Tassie from the warmer climate. by the way, tell me this. Why do we have the zoo down the road here near Werribee, open zoo, and we have lions and everything there. Then you go up to the Gold Coast and they've got polar bears, no lions.
Thanks, Doug.
But wouldn't you have the lions up there and the polar bears down here?
Oh, right. Maybe. That's too deep for me on a Wednesday afternoon.
Duck's wonder of the week.
That's a great call.
Ah, very good. And, of course, the other game is Hawthorn v. the Bombers, the old arch rivals. We'll see. On that note, that might do us, Radford, I reckon. Don't forget that you can listen to every game across round 14 on Triple M, starting with Friday night's huge clash between the Cats and the Western Bulldogs in a wet, cold night at GMHBA Stadium from 6 p.m. Look forward to it then. Well done, Duck. Yes. Enjoy your week. Well, Daisy, Damo, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all again to do it next Wednesday on Triple M's Midweek Rub.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.